Start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Pray.
There are two retired professional baseball players, and they were good Catholics, both in their 90s. So they're getting close to the end of their lives, and one of them asked the other, you know, is there baseball in heaven? What do you think? So they're really in a quandary, is there going to be baseball in heaven? So they made a deal. Whoever died first would have to come back to tell the other if there's baseball in heaven. So within a week, the guy that was 98 died. The other was 95. He died. And a week later, his friend was in his room saying his night prayers, and his companion appeared to him. He said, good news and bad news. Good news is that there is baseball in heaven. Bad news is you're pitching tonight. I love baseball stories. Then there was a mother that was watching her little son hit the ball, and the little boy went like this. He threw it up. He missed it. Threw it up again. He missed it again. Threw it up. He missed it again. And mommy said, well, Johnny, you'll do better tomorrow. Said, what do you mean? I did great. I'm a great pitcher. Ah. You'll pick it up later, okay? Okay, this session and this week we have two sessions because there's just so much material to cover. I want to go through your prayer time. I like to call it your holy hour. Not your happy hour, but your holy hour, okay? Okay, it can be a happy holy hour, but your holy hour, okay? Now, the exercises program that I constructed with the help of my great helpers is a tripod. Okay, what happens in a tripod if you knock down one of the legs? It's going to cascade to the ground, right? Okay, these are the three legs of our program. One is the talk. And the second is next week you're going to be breaking up into groups and you're going to be sharing with the others. What was one of the meditations that seemed to touch you most? That's the second part. And the third, and it's the most important, is your prayer period. That's the very heart, the very nucleus, the essence of this program is your prayer period. So let's talk about that now. We want all of you to make the decision to give a very generous heart in this fundamental aspect of the program. And you want to give the Lord an hour, okay? Fulton Sheen calls it the hour of power, okay? Hour of power. Now, some of you are looking at me with a very quizzical look on your countenance, if I can say, and thinking, well, Father, an hour is pretty long, no? Okay, let me respond to that temptation from the evil spirit that's crossing your minds, okay? How long is a telenovela?
1 hour.
I can't hear you.
1 hour.
Oh! How about a movie? How about a soccer game?
4 hours.
How about a baseball game?
3 hours.
How about catching a flick and then having pizza and beer with your pals, huh? 5 hours, huh? So 1 hour is really not that much. Convinced? Yes, Father. Okay. Not that much. And it's a matter of decision. Now, how do you learn to speak English? By practicing. How do you learn how to throw a curveball? Pitching. How do you learn how to cook? Burning the tacos, huh? Okay? Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. So the only way you're going to learn how to pray is by praying. There's no other way. Okay? So by giving yourself generously to God every day, given that hour, that's the way you're going to learn how to pray. I've arrived at a point where an hour for me is too short. An hour is too short. I have to have more time. I got the hour and 15 minutes. Probably for Lent, I'm going to try to arrive at an hour and a half. Because an hour is just, it's not enough. I want to spend more time with the Lord. And see it this way, that God really wants to spend time with you. God loves you, and He wants to spend time with you. Okay, let me give you another analogy. Are any people here married? Don't be ashamed. Okay. Okay. Don't be embarrassed, okay? No. It's not intrinsically evil. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. I think that probably before you got married, you would spend sometimes an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
And you fell in love, and he gave you the ring that he bought at 99 cents, right? No. You probably spent a long time. Spending it all the Friday from 6 until 2 o'clock in the morning seemed to be a short time. So if you fell in love with your prospect husband, who became your fiancé, shouldn't you love God even more? Yes. Imelda, what do you think? Yeah, love God even more. Human love is strong, but divine love is even stronger. You can love a human person up to a certain point, but loving God and letting God love you is infinite because God has no limits. Amen? And that's what Song of Songs says, love is stronger than death. So look at it this way. Your greatest lover is longing to spend an hour with you every morning. Amen?
Amen.
Look at it that way. Your greatest lover. Eugene Boylan in the book, The Greatest Lover is Jesus Christ. He wants to spend time with you. So if you look at it that way, that God is longing to spend that hour with you, there should be greater enthusiasm to do it. Right? Okay, good. So, an hour. Now, for St. Ignatius, responding to your doubts, okay, he says an hour is 61 minutes. Okay? You know what that means? Our tendency, well, Father Brome, an hour, 45 minutes, that's really an hour. It's not. 45 minutes is 45 minutes. I'm not a math major, but... And the reason being is, often God will give you a deluge of graces the last 60 seconds. You hear that? So if you got up after 58 minutes, God was about to pour it in, and you got up. Because of your impatience. And you know the way we treat God is the way we're going to treat other people. If you're impatient with God, you're going to be impatient with people too. If you're patient with God, then you're going to be patient with people. Because God is a person, isn't He? He's three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Huh? So it's incumbent upon you right now. You have to make the decision, I'm going to give the Lord this hour. I'm going to be faithful. See, this is a matter of life and death. And if you struggle, offer it for your children. Any of you have any children that need prayers? Or they're already saints? No? Offer it for your children. Offer it for them. Going through dryness and aridity. Okay, I'm struggling through this. I'll offer this for my four children. So I'm trying to do all I can to motivate you to see that this hour of power is essential for you to really go deep in your spiritual life. As I said in the break to some of you, I think there are two options for you. Sanctity or mediocrity. You choose. Any of you know what mediocrity means? Spanish, ni fu ni fa ni chicha ni limonada. Okay? It's either we want to pursue a life of serious pursuit of loving God with our whole heart, mind, soul, or just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. It'd be mediocre, half-baked, lukewarm. And I think that that's the biggest problem in Catholicism, mediocre Catholics. That's the biggest problem. Mediocre Catholics. Catholics to give the minimum rather than the maximum. Ignatius calls it the magis. Not giving all, but just giving. Giving the Lord, giving Him the crumbs on the table. Not the sirloin steak, okay? You going to give Him crumbs or the sirloin steak? Give Him your all. Magnanimity. Magnanimity. Okay. That being said, I'd like to go through, try to respond to these three questions, these three mental questions that maybe are floating around in your mind. Okay, where, when, and how? Okay? Where, when, and how? Okay, let's start with when. There are 24 hours in the day, right? I would strongly exhort you to do your meditation as early as possible. As early as possible. Why? I'll give you three reasons. Have any of you ever read Mark chapter 1? You go to daily mass? You heard it in daily mass about 2 weeks ago. Mark chapter 1. You know, Mark chapter... No, Father, I don't know because we're not Protestants, okay? Okay. Okay, I heard you. That's what you're thinking, right? We're just typical Catholics, right? You know what I do? It's my confirmation boys. I'll give them a Bible. I'll give them the American New Testament. I'll say, okay, right now. I pull out my wallet. Whoever can read Mark 17:10 first, I'll give $20. You see them going a mile a minute. Exodus, Psalms, Matthew, Mark. And they go from Mark 16, and it goes from Mark 16 to Luke 1. You know what? There's no Mark 17. No. I'm not going to give my money away to anyone, no. I'm already poor. I don't want to be miserable, no? But the Protestants say, oh, you're a typical ignorant Catholic. Mark only has 16 chapters, okay? So, Mark chapter 1, getting back to Mark chapter 1, we have a typical day in the public life of Jesus Christ. It starts off when Jesus got up. He got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. What does that mean? Way before dawn. What time is that, Monica?
Five.
Nah, it's too late.
Four?
Five, nah.
Four?
Honus? Oh, one, that's too early. Okay. Well, I would say in between three and four. Five, that's already, nah, that's too late. Three. Well, this is Jesus now. I'm talking about Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our model. 3 o'clock. And it says he was absorbed in prayer. So the first reason, I'm not saying you have to get up at 3 o'clock, but get up early. Get up at 5, 5:36. Give the Lord your first fruits. The second is, if you read in the diary of St. Faustina, she says this, she noticed, whenever she put off her prayer to later, for later, either she didn't do it or did it poorly. This is St. Faustina. You can notice if you put it off till later, you're going to be distracted, you're going to get phone calls, you're going to be worrying about something. Give the Lord your first fruits. Third reason. I consider my life to be a constant spiritual battle. I don't know about you. I feel that the life is a constant spiritual battle. And obviously, priests are tempted much more than you people. Okay? No brainer. Okay? So, for me to enter into spiritual combat, I have to be prepared. So I have to start off my day with a good block of time to pray to prepare me for spiritual battle. Amen? Amen. You have to go through battles also, not like a priest, okay? But we all have to go through battles. Prayer is our spiritual weapon to win the battle. Amen?
Amen.
So those are three reasons why. I don't have to do a prayer at 10 o'clock at night to fall asleep. I'll fall asleep without that holy hour, huh? But to prepare me for that battle during the course of the day, I need God's grace, and that comes through prayer, through deep prayer. And you're going to notice you're going to have a lot of inspiration, a lot of consolations. You'll be going to be more patient. You'll deal with people better, with your children better, if you have God working with you. Otherwise, you're going through the day carrying your cross by yourself. It's too heavy.
Put on the armor of God, right?
Yes. Well said. St. Paul says, put on the armor of God to fight the good fight, to run the good race, to receive the merited crown that awaits for God's faithful soldiers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
You can also pray again at 3 p.m.
Sure. I mean, now, good. I'm glad you brought that up. You can do an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. If you want to do 2 hours, so much the better. It's not a sin to do 2 holy hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but okay, I'm glad you said that, because your holy hour is not going to be your novena, your chaplet, your rosary, your psalms. Your holy hour is what we give you. So every hour we're going to be giving you a picture, a biblical passage, as well as a commentary. So do your other prayers also, but that's not going to be supplanting your holy hour. Every one of these 70 meditations we give you, written out. We've been working on this the past 10 years. So you're going to be doing, it's tailored, it's written for you people. You just have to follow the rule book, okay? Follow the rule book. Okay. Okay, so we responded to when. Now, where are you going to pray? I've got a brilliant idea, I think. Our church, our parish, which is your home. Say thank you. Okay, our parish, which is your home, is open every morning at 4:45 in the morning. So tomorrow we'll see you at 4:45 in the morning. And then, good news, at 6 o'clock we have our first of 5 daily masses. We have 5 daily masses in St. Peter Chanel.
What time?
6 o'clock. So you can come, okay, if you come a little bit late, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock rather, or your hour, 5 o'clock, then that takes you right up to Mass. Then at 6 o'clock you go to Mass, and by 6:25, you've done your holy hour, you've gone to Mass, you received Holy Communion. Wow. So see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock, okay? Okay, now if you say that can't be done because you're driving from San Diego, okay? Some people have come from that far away. Or Camarillo. And you can't do that because you're too far away. Okay, maybe you have to do the holy hour in your home.
Or go to church.
Well, if you can do it in the church, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's the best place. In front of the Blessed Sacrament. Like, what I do is I get up, I do mine from 5:45 to 7 o'clock. That's my time. We have in our, you know, in the rectory, as in convents, we have our chapel, so we have the Blessed Sacrament. So I light the candles and I expose the Blessed Sacrament. I spend that hour and 15 minutes with the Lord every morning. Okay. So in front of the Blessed Sacrament is the best place. But if you can't do it, most people find that they do it in their home. Now you can create a spiritual oratory or ambience or milieu in your home. Now I would suggest that you have, I have images. Do you like this? Mm-hmm. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
The Sacred Heart. Do you like this?
Yes.
Immaculate Heart of Mary. There's an image of Divine Mercy. There's an image of John Bosco and his famous vision. Okay, so have images of the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart, St. Joseph. This is going to help you to elevate your mind to God. What is prayer from the St. John Damascene? Elevating the mind and the heart to God. That's the definition taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Prayer is lifting up our mind and heart to God. Then you have the images there. Light a couple of candles. And then you can burn some incense. Not marijuana, okay? Okay. No, don't do that, no, okay? Burn some incense, okay? And then you've created the spiritual atmosphere. Then you enter into your prayer period. And as in sports, we have to warm up, otherwise you're going to be pulling a muscle or hamstring, as we say in sports. You have to warm up to God. The transition from the active life to the contemplative life, you have to go through what is called a process of transition. So Ignatius says, okay, you're ready. Place yourself in the presence of God. Second, imagine God is looking at you with love, with the images. Then, pray the Hail Mary. Ask Mary to pray for you and to pray with you. And then, who is the spiritual retreat master? Father Broom? Nope. Padre Escobita? Nope. The spiritual retreat master is God. He is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the retreat master. So you want to pray to the Holy Spirit. You know who he is? He is the interior master. Say a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So you've warmed up and then you start to read the passage, read the commentary, and I would like to give you a method of prayer. Method of prayer I take is from Pope Benedict the 16th. And it's from his document, Verbum Domini. Okay? Most of you have read all the Catholic Church encyclicals, right?
Of course.
You were reading some of them last night, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. In this, he gives us one of the most famous prayer methods in the Catholic Church. And it's called Lectio Divina. I think you've heard of that before. Lectio Divina. Now you can use the method of Lectio Divina so that you can do your prayer period well. And he gives us 5 steps. Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. Lectio. Meditatio. Contemplatio. Oratio. Actio. And I have added a baker's dozen, transformatio. See if you can repeat that. Were you paying attention or were you dozing off? Okay, the first is lectio, then what is? And then you have? And then you have? Oratio, and then you have axio, and then I have added transformatio. The Latin is almost like the Spanish. So lectio. So you have your biblical verse, you got your commentary. Lectio means you read. Read. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. You ever hear that? Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. A lot of us like to say, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, right? We do it backwards, no? Then, meditatio, you got to think. Read through it and think. Ponder. The Greek word is ruminate. We have the Blessed Mother in Luke chapter 1 and 2. Mary is meditating upon the Word of God in her heart after the shepherds leave. Mary is meditating upon the Word of God in her heart after Jesus is lost and found, the 3 days. And ruminate basically means this. It's what a cow is doing with his cud. You ever see a cow chewing? The cow is chewing the cud. He's chewing, slowly chewing it, and he's masticating it, and he's pulverizing it so that he can digest it. That's the word in Greek. So read, and read again, and read the commentary. So we're filling our mind with the truth. Okay, then, contemplatio. Did you know that you all have an imagination? Teresa of Avila calls it la loca de la casa. What is la loca de la casa? What does that mean?
The crazy house.
The crazy lady of the house, huh? La loca de la casa. Okay. La loca de la casa. In other words, we have to learn how to train our imagination. Easier said than done, huh? And either we use our imagination for good or for bad. It's a neutral faculty that we have to learn how to train. We want to fill it with the presence of God. Then oratio means you enter into conversation with God. Spanish oración, right? Which means prayer. Talk to God. Talk to God. Use your own words. And then from that you move into axio. What word do you have there? Lights, camera, and action, okay? So you want to try to put into practice to bring to your life the God that you've met in prayer. You want to bring God to others. Like Mary in the visitation, right? Mary contemplated, then she went in haste to bring Christ to others, John the Baptist and St. Elizabeth. Then if that's lived out, what do you have? Transformatio. A transformation, a metamorphosis, as the Greeks say. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Amen? No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So let's take an example. Your meditation, your first meditation is going to be taken from Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to be giving you also the text of Prince Bone Foundation. Exodus chapter 3. You know what that is? No, we're not Protestants. Okay, I heard you. Okay, you're not Protestants. Okay, that's the vocation of Moses. Moses before the burning bush. All of you know that. Moses before the burning bush. So this is what could happen. You're reading Exodus chapter 3. Moses before the burning bush. You see this happening. And all of a sudden, it's no longer Moses, but it's Jonas. It's Imelda. It's Sylvia. It's Patti. It's Mary. You don't hear the name Moses, but you hear your own name. Then you hear the words, take off your sandals. What's that mean? Leave the world behind. I want to talk with you. Come now. Leave it behind. Come. Take your sandals off. Leave it behind. I want to talk with you. And then you hear the voice, draw closer. Draw closer. And that burning bush did not consume. It's no longer a burning bush, but you see a burning heart. So the burning bush is the burning sacred heart of Jesus. And he says, come close. Then you hear these words, come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So Jesus is inviting you to draw close, not to the burning bush, but to his sacred heart. He says, draw closer. Draw closer. And what happens is, you end up by resting on the sacred heart of Jesus. And you're listening to his heartbeat. His heartbeat is saying, I love you, and you are mine. I love you, and you are mine. I love you, and you are mine. And what's interesting is you've read and heard this already 1,000 times, but it's always been upstairs. And finally, that has gone from your head to your heart, and you recognize that God really loves you, and you're convinced. For the first time in your life, you're letting God take the initiative to love you. You're letting him love you. He loved us first, John says. He loved us first. You're loving God. He's loving you. You're in that divine embrace of love. And the hour goes by like that. And it has been a heart-to-heart conversation with the Sacred Heart. And you get up and you're filled with peace. You're filled with joy. You're filled with consolation. You are transformed. You get up from your holy hour, you leave, and you're no longer the same. You're a different person because God has changed you. And you treat people and you see people with a different eye. What would happen if every one of your meditations in the next 10 weeks something like that happened? 10 weeks, you're going to be a different person. So, God has many treasures in store for you. You just have to open up your heart. You just have to open up your heart. There's a very famous painting by the painter Holman Hunt on Revelation chapter 3. And it's Jesus the Good Shepherd. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door, and someone criticized the painter, saying, hey, it's a great painting, but you're not very intelligent. He didn't put the door handle on. What type of painter are you? He said, I purposely did not put the door handle on the outside, because it's from within. And that's you. God is knocking, and only you can open up the door from within so that Jesus can sit down and dine with you, and you dine with him. Amen?
Amen.
So that's an example for you. And at the very end of your prayer period, after you finish, this is key, you have to do what is called your revision. Revision is a compound word, revision. Here's the prefix. Here's the other part of the word. Revision, you know what it means, is to see again. Re, again, like to rewind, see again. So you rewind your prayer period and you see where was God speaking to you, how did God speak to you, and then you pull out your pen. And for about 5 minutes, you're going to be writing it down. And then next week, when you break up into your groups, guess what? One of those meditations, you're going to be sharing with the group. And you're going to be enriching the group, and the group is going to be enriching you. So if these exercises are done well and you collaborate, they're life transforming. So next week, you're going to have 7 pages written down each day on how God spoke to you. Yes, sir?
So it's just like a diary.
Then, yep. Right? Well said. Yeah, kind of like a diary.
Okay.
But it's specifically, what was your God experience in that hour? For example, you might say, okay, that fire was turned in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I drew close, and I just really felt in the depths of my heart for the first time that God loves me. I mean, I read that 1,000 times, but never really registered. It went from here to here. And I got up and I just felt a lot of peace. I've been really anxious over the past couple of weeks. I got up and I experienced a peace that I haven't experienced in 2 months. And I know that was God that was filling me with His peace. You share that, that's perfect. 2 minutes you share that, you're enriching all the other people. Someone else might say, I heard take off your sandals and I just felt I didn't want to get closer. And it took me 40 minutes to take my sandals off. Then once I took my sandals off, because I was too attached, I drew close and God said, thank you. And you recognize that taking off those sandals was, I was a certain attachment I have in my life that I have to work on overcoming. So it can be a million different things. I'm too attached to watching that TV program that's damaging me. God has asked me to sacrifice that. I'm too attached to a friend that I've had for 40 years, but this friend is really, she's damaging me. So the exercises, they're going to console you, but Jesus is going to be challenging us. He's going to be challenging us to keep growing and purifying ourselves. Is that clear? Okay. Yes. Okay, you're going to be reading Exodus 3. Good question. All your questions are very, very good. This week, we're going to be giving you a principle and foundation, which I'm going to explain right now. You're going to be reading Exodus chapter 3. And after that, you've got a commentary, which explains it, written by yours truly, okay? So you've got these three, we're going to be giving you a lot of material. So we'll give you a lot of material. If you don't get through it, this is not a homework assignment, okay? Say, for example, you just draw close to the burning bush and you just feel that loving embrace. You don't have to read anymore. God is already touching you. In other words, it might happen that God embraces you right away. For others, it might take 10 minutes, and others, it might take 55 minutes. Then once you hit 55, something really clicks. So each of us are different. Every one of you has to develop a prayer style, and God deals with you all in a different way. We're all different. We're all like, if I can use an image from where I'm from, a snowflake. Any of you ever see a snowflake? Maybe at least on TV, no? I was brought up and raised with snow. Each snow is a different flake. It's a different pattern. Your fingerprints, there's no two same fingerprints. There's no two individuals that praise the same way. You have to learn your own style. Okay. Yes. Okay, led to magic. Okay, a good question. We have the good spirit and the bad spirit. If you're being led to magic, that's a bad spirit. Okay, we don't believe in magic. Okay. Yeah. No, if you want to get me mad, say these words to me. Two words. Good luck. I get angry. No, I don't believe in luck. I believe in divine providence. No. Okay, get a good spiritual director.
Okay.
If you talk that out with a good spiritual director, we've never lived in a world with so much information, but we've never lived in a world with so much confusion as today. There's a lot of information. We've never lived in a world with so much confusion as today.
And given
that was
sitting in the sacrament,
yeah. You know, what's happened is the New Age movement has infiltrated itself into the Catholic Church. You know, Reiki, you have certain liberal programs that say you can be doing Reiki with the spiritual exercise. That's preposterous. Okay, so all of us have to have, I'll talk about this later, good spiritual direction. Good spiritual direction. Okay, good question. Okay, now PNF. So this is going to be your material this week. Okay, Princemont Foundation. I'll go through the first sentence on it. Is... we have to know who God is, who we are, why we were created, what is the purpose of our life, and how to get there. Ignatius, in one sentence, basically says it all. And it's this. Man and woman is created to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. There we have it. We are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? So the most important thing in your life and your children is to get to heaven. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. Really, it's the only thing that matters in our life here is to get to heaven. Everything else is inconsequential, accidental, or I would say almost insignificant. What's important is for us to get to heaven. Do you love your children?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
What is love? We're going to get 75 different interpretations. I'll give you the definition of love given by Thomas Aquinas, if you give me permission. Okay? Thomas Aquinas says, love is willing the good of the other. Great definition. Love is willing the good of the other. How's your Latin? The summum bonum. Thomas Aquinas. The summum bonum. The maximum good is what? The greatest good is the salvation of our soul and the salvation of the souls of your children. So if you really love your children, I hope you do, your greatest desire is that your children go to heaven. Your greatest desire. And you're going to do all you possibly can to help your kids to get to heaven. About 7 years ago, I celebrated my Silver Jubilee. Know what that is? Okay, celebrated in the big 25. It's almost 7 years ago. It's been a while. I got a lot of gifts. One gift, which I thought was the best, was a little envelope. I opened it up, and there were just a few words written. And these were the words. For your 25th anniversary, I offered for you 25 masses for every year. And below it said, Love, Mom. I like that. For me, that's real love. I mean, she could have sent me a check because she's got money. She could have. She could have sent me some material thing. She could have. But she knew what I need more than anything else are prayers. And the greatest prayer in the world is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen? And it wasn't one, it was 25. Amen? That's living up principle and foundation. She wants one of her sons, who happens to be a priest, to be a good priest, and he needs a lot of prayers, and the greatest prayer is the Mass. So offering 25 Masses, something's going to happen. If my ministry is going to touch souls, and not so much because of me, but I got these many Masses that are offered for my intentions, that gives a lot of consolation. That's living out principle and foundation. Even though she didn't think about principle and foundation, what she did, she was living it out. Okay? Second part of principle and foundation is we're called to use all of creation to praise God and to get to heaven. Now, everything in creation is good. Then why is there evil? Didn't God create all things good? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. God created, it was good. Then why do you have evil? Because instead of using creation for its proper end, we abuse it. That's the problem. True. We're abusing it. By using it in a disordered way, with the wrong intention, excessively. So everything that you mention in this world is good. But we, given free will, we abuse it. So after this class, you're kind of hungry, you go to McDonald's and you order 12 hamburgers, 3 milkshakes, and French fries. And you eat all of that. That's wrong. 12 hamburgers. There's nothing wrong with a hamburger. There's the person that's eating too many, right? There's nothing wrong with a hamburger, but we abused it. And you can apply that to anything you mention. I could tell you how you could abuse it. How about a hammer? Is a hammer good? Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you about to do? You're about to hit him on the head. That's wrong. Okay? if you use it to make a table, fine. But not to clobber your friend over the head, okay? Everything. And we'll be talking about this later on. One of the biggest problems of abuse is of human sexuality, of course. Father Benedict Rochelle, some of you have heard of him probably, who died a couple of years ago, one of the greatest priests in the United States, said that many people carry a cross, not with I-N-R-I, but with S-E-X. Addiction to pornography, right? Premarital sex, leading to abortions, right? STDs, there are so many today. And all of that is as a result of abusing human sexuality, which is a great gift. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? But if it's abused, it can be catastrophic. That's a strong word. A moral tsunami. A tsunami, no? Which can have repercussions that can be disastrous, catastrophic. So the third part of principle and foundation, it's called holy indifference. Now, when you use the word indifference in American English, you can think of apathy, who cares? The younger generation says, whatever. Okay? That is que me importa, okay? But holy indifference for St. Ignatius is not that. Holy indifference is a total openness to God's will. You want to do God's will no matter what it is. Ignatius gives you four categories. You don't want to prefer a long life to a short life. Wow. You don't want to prefer health to sickness. Oh, wow. I don't like that at all, Father. You don't want to prefer riches to poverty. I'm an American. I don't like that at all, Father. Here's the clincher, Monica. I don't prefer honors to humiliations. Oh, you like to be humiliated?
No.
But you want to choose what is most conducive to the end for which you're created. The honor and glory of God and the salvation of your soul.
So you would endure humiliation.
Yes. And if you want, after those four categories, I'll throw a saint that put into practice. Long life, short life. Who was canonized May 13th last year? In Fatima. Okay, Jacinto and Francisco of Fatima. It was the 100th anniversary of the first apparition, right? The two little children, but the youngest saints we have in the Catholic Church. Aside from the Holy Innocents and maybe... Well, Maria Goretti was 11 years old, too.
Yeah.
But Our Lady said to Francisco he was going to die, and he rejoiced. Why? He wanted to be with Mary in heaven,
right,
as well as Jesus. Yeah. If you would go to the hospital and do a test, oh, by the way, you're going to die in 2 months. Ah, praise the Lord! Would you say that? None of us. Probably all of us. Oh, well, Father, I'm a doctor. I want to get another test. I think all of us would do that. But he was so imbued with the Holy Spirit and Mary's presence. Well, if God wants to take me to heaven, that's good. Okay, sickness over health, Jacinta. She was in the hospital.
Yeah.
I talked to my mother about this on the phone a couple months ago. She said, son, did you know that when Jacinta was in the hospital, a lady appeared to her and said, are you willing to suffer a little bit more to save souls? And she said, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Sickness. So she willingly underwent incredible, excruciating pains to console the heart of Mary and to save souls. These are children that have no education. But they got two great teachers, Mary and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Good enough, huh? Riches over poverty. Ready? St. Francis of Assisi.
Yes.
If he were living today, his father would be the owner of Nordstrom's, okay? Or Macy's. His father was the owner of a very wealthy clothes merchant store. If you like another, Charles Borromeo. Came from the Medici family. And his older brother died, so all the money went to him, gave it up to become one of the greatest priests, bishops in the Catholic Church. Another one, Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Dire poverty. No, she left her convent and just had one sari, and that was it. Walking the streets of a country where there are very few Christian Catholics and a lot of opposition. Maybe some of you saw the movie Mother Teresa by Olivia Hussey. Great movie. Okay, honors over humiliations. Mother Teresa once approached someone asking for money for the poor, and the man spat in her hand. She said, thank you very much. That's for me. Now give to the poor. Hussey. Vincent de Paul. Ever hear of him? He was begging money for the poor, and the guy spat in his face and said, thank you very much. Now give to the poor. And the guy was so disarmed, he opened up his wallet and gave him a lot of money. Humiliations are tough. They're tough. And one of the greatest events is St. John of the Cross. He was kidnapped by the own Carmelite brothers and priests. He was thrown in a cell for a year. He was scourged. He couldn't take a bath.
He reformed the order.
Yeah, but they were so jealous of him, they kidnapped John of the Cross because of jealousy. They put him in a cell about the size of your bathroom, and they humiliated him, they scourged him, and he never said a negative word against these priests his whole life. And at the end of his life, any of you ever read The Life of John the Cross or saw the movie of De Filippi? He was given the privilege to end up his life in a convent where the priest loved him or the priest hated him. Guess where he chose to go? In Obeda. Yep. In Obeda. Yep. Because he wanted to suffer more like Jesus Christ. Was Jesus humiliated?
Yes.
A lot?
Yes.
Was he scourged?
Yes.
Spat upon?
Yes.
Crowned with thorns?
Yes.
Forgotten?
Yes.
Betrayed?
Yes.
Denied?
Yes.
And he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Being the Son of God. So I know I'm probably thinning out the crowd. Probably half of you are not going to return next week after I've explained this. But it has to be said. And what Ignatius is teaching us, we can't be attached to persons, places, things, possessions, opinions. We have to be totally rooted in God. We have to cling, holding the hands of Jesus and Mary and be guided by St. Joseph. Amen?
Amen?
So, 2 days ago, I offered a Mass for you. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Starting today, I'm going to be offering a novena for you, the other groups. So starting today, I'm going to be praying for you every day for 9 days as a secondary intention in my Masses, so that all of you will have the best 10 weeks in your lives, that all of you will become great saints.
Thank
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Can I just listen? Mary's going to be handing out your things.